Thanks, sir. Hallelujah. Isn't God wonderful? Amen. You know, his desire is for all of us to be free. Free from all the things that inhibit us and hold us back. Because he has a destiny and a purpose for all of us that's in his kingdom. And it goes far beyond what we can imagine. And I think sometimes we get locked into our own lives and our own problems and our own situations, and God wants to come in and unlock those things and set us free so that we can understand that the kingdom of God is on this earth now with his people, in his people, and his people can do awesome and powerful things when they connect to him. But so many times we allow things to stand between us and him. And it's up to us to deal with those things. It's up to us to recognize what they are. Ricky, that was a powerful testimony, you know. God dealt with you and you removed what the obstacle was. You allowed him to take it away. And some of us have other obstacles, whatever they might be. Don't let them remain in the way between you and God, because God has so much more for you than you can ever imagine. Amen? Well, a few of you agree. Hallelujah. It's good to hear. You know, I just want to share some good news with you, because, you know, we're living in a desperate time. We're living in a world that's completely coming apart. We're living in a world where crisis is on every hand and every nation. And I love the song that they sang during the communion. You know, I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. And you know what? I can tell you, I see him. I see him. I see him mounting on that stallion, looking to the Father and waiting for the Father to say, go. Now's the time. And I believe that we're living closer to that time than we've ever lived before. You say, how do I know that? Because you look at what's going on in the nations. God's key in the nations has always been Israel. Right now, all the nations are turning against them. And even my own nation, which I never thought would ever happen, is basically turning their back on them, abandoning them. But God has a purpose and a destiny for Israel. And I want to share with you a little bit about this morning. And I love this scripture because it speaks of the awesome, powerful God that we serve. You know, God has a purpose and a plan. And nothing whatsoever will interfere with his plan. The nations can rant and rave all they want to. But God has his plan. And nothing moves it. So I want to share with you a little bit this morning. Psalm chapter 2. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the people devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take control together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cards from us. And you know what's happening. You look at what's happening in the nations, in our own nation, where they've just recently said, oh, you know, gay marriage is on. And I want to just say, I'm not against gays. I'm not against people who are homosexuals. That's the lifestyle that they've chosen for themselves. But you cannot break God's eternal principles. You cannot change his eternal laws. And his eternal law of marriage is between one man and one woman. You cannot change it. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the highest court in the land. God sits in the heavens and laughs at you to think that you have that kind of authority to change his eternal laws and his eternal purposes. It cannot be done. Cannot be done. You say, well, it has been. Yes, but it hasn't changed God's mind one bit. It hasn't changed the Supreme Judge's mind one bit. He still holds the same opinion. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. I like that. You say, God has a good laugh every once in a while, doesn't he? Do you think he's having a laugh now? I think he's having a laugh. I think he's laughing not at man, but at man's plans. Because man has different plans to God. And I think God is just, you know, sitting in the heavens, laughing and saying, do what you want to do, but you can't change my plans. Do what you want to do, but you can't change my purposes. And that's what God says. It says, then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his holy, in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Guess where that is? That's in Jerusalem. I've installed my king on my holy mountain. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know what? When he returns to this earth, he isn't coming back to New York. He isn't coming back to London. He's coming back to Jerusalem, where he will rule the earth from Jerusalem. It says, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. That's Jesus Christ he's talking about. Ask of me, and I will give the nations as your inheritance. He's given the nations as an inheritance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will rule the earth from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Isn't that wonderful? Hello? Hello, are you awake? Yeah? Do you know who you serve? You serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, and when he came back to this earth, he came back to restore a relationship. A relationship that was broken when Adam sinned in the garden. God came to restore a relationship. And when he comes to restore something, he doesn't restore it halfway. He restores it wholly and fully. And you have a relationship with God that you haven't tapped into yet, but we all need to tap into it. God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is our elder brother. Hello? Amen. He's our elder brother. And so there's a lot more for us that we haven't tapped into yet, and God wants us to tap into it. But you know what? He lays that at our feet and says, there, I've done everything that I can do for you. Now you have to take it for yourself. You have to apply it. You have to get a hold of God for yourself. You have to have that personal relationship with him. And he wants it for you, and he wants it for you more than anything else. He wants you to have that relationship. When I think of Jesus, I always think of, you know, he's a ruler over everything. He rules everything. He rules our lives. He rules everything around us. The whole universe is in his control. Amen? You know, in spite of what it looks like around you, he hasn't lost control, by the way. If you're worried about that, stop worrying. He's still in control. He still has everything in his hands. And we can trust him. We can trust him with everything. And he says to the Lord, he said, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. Hello. To break them with a rod of iron. Doesn't that sound harsh? Does that sound harsh to you? Do you think so? Yeah. Well, remember, when God speaks of harshness, he's not speaking to his people. He's speaking to those who have not come under his authority. You know, he will rule them with a rod of iron. Yeah, and break them in pieces. It says, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Is there a refuge in him? You're blessed. You're blessed. If you know the Lord, you're walking with the Lord, you're blessed. You have a supreme place of refuge, a place where you can go and hide, a place where you can go when trouble comes, a place where you can have that relationship with a Father who loves you, who cherishes you, who wants the best for you, who has so much for you that you haven't yet tapped into, but he wants to give it all to you. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and he wants to give you so much more. He wants to give you everything that's his. And we are heirs and fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. Isn't that powerful? Hallelujah. Okay, they're not giving you the bad news. I'll give you the good news, all right? All right. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. I love this. It says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen? The Lord is going to fill the earth with the knowledge of him. He's going to fill the earth with his glory. He's going to fill the earth with his presence. One of the things that is so powerful is that God wants to bring his presence. His presence. You know, when the people were in the temple, it was the presence of God that was so heavy that they had to fall on their faces before him. It was like a cloud that came into the temple. The Shekinah glory filled the house. You know, I believe God wants to do that in our day. I believe God wants to do that in places like here, where people's hearts are going out to him saying, God, we want more. We want more of you. We want everything that you have for us. We want everything that you intended for us to have for us. When you died on the cross and you purchased our salvation, you purchased everything that was lost in the fall. You purchased it back so that we can have it and walk in fullness and wholeness and be free. And I believe God wants to do that for us. I believe God, the Holy Spirit, has so much more for us. And we need to see the more. We need to long for the more. We need to desire more than anything else to be in his presence. That's what he wants for us. We talk about healings. You know, I want to see the day come where people just get healed and worship. They just get healed because the presence of God is so strong. The presence of God is like a heavy blanket that comes, and people come into the presence of God and they get healed. They get delivered. They get set free from their demons. I want to see that time. I long for those days. I long for those days. I was raised in a Pentecostal church from the time I was knee-high to a grasshopper. But I mean, I was a tiny little lad. I sat on the front benches and I saw healings and miracles and people raised from the dead. I've seen it. I want those days. I want those days for us. I believe those days are ahead for us. I believe those days are coming for us. But it requires us to seek the presence of God more than anything else. First and foremost, his presence. His presence. I long for his presence. I long for his glory to fall. I long for the days when God moves in power, when sinners walking past outside fall on their knees and repent because they sense the presence, the awesome presence of the Holy Spirit of God. They fall under conviction and repent and come inside and say, what it's all about? What is this all about? I long for those days. I long for those days. You see, there's so much more that God has for us. I long for the days when people who have problems with drugs and alcohol and all those problems walk into the presence of God and they're instantly delivered. Why? Because the presence of God is so strong in that place that nothing can stand in its presence. Nothing. No demon in hell can stand in his presence. I love Haggai. You probably remember some of it, you know. He says that this, you know, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. The glory of the latter house, that's us, by the way. We're the latter house. And the glory will be greater than the former. If they fell on the face, if the priests fell on their face before God in Solomon's temple, what will happen in this one? The glory of God fill the house. We want the presence of God. We want the awesome presence of God. We want the awesome presence of the Holy Spirit coming, coming, coming in glory so that the waves of glory fill the house, fill the house, fill the house. People touched, people renewed. People's lives change dramatically because of the presence of Almighty God. I love it. I love the scriptures. I love everything that God has to say about his people. Now, Romans chapter 8. I love this. That, by the way, what I was just was talking about was in Haggai chapter 2. You know, Haggai says, the gold is mine and the silver is mine, says the Lord. Do you know God isn't poor? You see, God isn't poor. He can actually open up the heavens and, you know, send down some gold and silver and if he needs to. I mean, he did open up the heavens and send down manna in the wilderness for the children of Israel, didn't he? And he had an especial anointing on them because the Bible says that they lived for 40 years in the wilderness and their shoes didn't wear out. I'd like to have those pair of shoes. And those clothes, they didn't wear out. Why? Because of God's presence. God's eternal presence was with them in the cloud and in the pillar of fire. And say, can we live in that place? Listen, I believe we can live in that place. I believe we can live in the place where the Spirit of God speaks to us on a daily basis. And we hear the Spirit of God. We see what God is doing. God wants to show us his eternal glory. God wants to give it to us. He wants to have an open heaven in this place. An open heaven. And I believe he will. I believe there's great things that take place here already, but I believe they're going to get greater. I believe they're going to get greater. I'm not looking at men. I'm not looking at the great preachers we have, because we have some wonderful preachers. But you know what? That's not going to change people's lives. What's going to change people's lives is the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, in each and every one of us, because we are his vessels. We are his vessels. Romans chapter 8. Let's see if I can find where I'm at now. I get carried away and miss. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah, verse 18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Listen to that. The creation is longing for the revealing of the sons of God. I believe there's an element of that that is in the future. And, you know, when God is here on earth, there's an element of that. But I believe that creation right now is looking for something that's different. And it's looking for something that's different in God's people. And God's people have to bring that to the earth. We have to bring that. We have to do that. How do we do that? We don't do that by anything else but allowing his presence to rest upon us, walking in obedience to him, living in obedience to him, living in a place where he can speak to us and we respond. Amen? Good. You guys all look serious this morning. Praise God. And it is serious. It is serious because we want his presence. More than anything else, we want his presence. We want to see the glory of God on everyone. On everyone. On everyone. We want to see healings. We want to see miracles. We want to see the extraordinary. You know, when I first came to this church, back when it first started, God put something in my heart back then because I saw something here that had so much potential. Because I saw when they said Route 61, that it was about getting people's hearts healed. And we live in a world that's full of broken people. Hello? We live in a world that's full of broken people. We live in a world where there's people in the church who are totally broken. They don't know how to get healed. But God wants to heal the broken. Isaiah 61 said that. Jesus said that. He said, it's here. I'm him. I'm the one who's come to do this. To heal the broken. To heal the broken. From the first time that I entered into the ministry, and I was 22 years of age, pastoring a church in California, and the first experience I had with a family who came to us that were full of little children who had been abused. And my heart went out to them because God came to heal the broken. God came to restore what the enemy has stolen. God came to remove the powers of darkness that we can walk in complete wholeness and freedom. That was the purpose of Jesus serving us here on the earth, was to release us and set us free. Excuse me. I have to get a drink, otherwise it'll be a dry sermon. But God sent his son because he looked down at the earth and he saw an earth that was full of broken people without hope that were perishing. And in his mercy and in his grace, he sent his son. And his son suffered rejection. He came to his own, and his own received him not. His son suffered all kinds of things at the hand of humanity that he had created. And he suffered it for a purpose and for a reason, and that was to bring healing and wholeness. And while he was on the earth, he healed. He laid his hands on many. He spoke words. He said to some of them, your sins are forgiven. And you know, it's sin that separates us from God, and it's sin that often gets us into the trouble that we face. And God knows that sin needs to be forgiven and cleansed. Didn't come to condemn the world. That's the lovely thing about John 3:16, you know. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But 17 is just as important. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so I want to challenge you this morning. If you're here and you're not a believer, I want to tell you this. God loves you more than you will ever know. His love for you is so deep. His compassion towards you is immense. He looks at you and he sees you as you really are. Not as you want others to see you, but as you really are. He sees your brokenness. He sees all the things that you struggle with. And he doesn't condemn you, but he has a wonderful word for you. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. And so I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning and you haven't given your life to the Lord, that you allow the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, to touch you, to set you free, to bring you into wholeness and fullness. For the rest of us, I want to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. The things that you struggle with, bring it to him, because he has a way to set you free. He has a way to release you. And he longs for your fellowship. He longs for your fellowship. He longs for you to spend time with him. Isn't that amazing? You know, that we have a God who wants to spend time with us. You know? And I think we come in ourselves, in this world, in the Western world that we live in, we often are in a rush about everything. Got to rush to do this and rush to do that and rush to do this. And it's like God says, hey, slow down. Oh, Lord, I give you 5 minutes today. And the Lord says, yeah, but I want a couple hours. As a matter of fact, I'd like 24 of them. I want you even in your dreams. I want to speak to you. And it's all because he loves us. It's all because he wants us to have everything that he's purchased for us at the cross. You see, everything that we need has been purchased at the cross, but we need to come to him to receive it. I need to come to him and say, Lord, I need it. I need you. I need your healing. I need your restoration. I need your friendship and your fellowship. How many of us come just for that? You know? How often do we fellowship with him? How often do we just spend time with him and allow him to speak to us? Because he really does want to speak to us. And he's got a lot to say. A lot to say. Amen.